A call to order the October 3rd.
Oh, now. Good evening. I will call to order the October 3rd, 2022 City of Kirkland Design Review Board meeting, and we will start with a roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Carlos Castaneda. Shoshana Cohen.
Here.
Fatima Cohen.
Here.
Tyler Smith. And Amy Tars.
Present.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie. Tonight we have the Polaris apartment project on our agenda. I don't see we have any minutes to approve. I didn't get any. And are there any members of the audience that would like to speak about any item that is not on the agenda tonight? I don't think we have. So I will move forward to the item on the agenda, Polaris at Totem Lake Project, the Design Response Conference. And I will turn to Jennifer for staff presentation. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hello.
May I ask you that once you're done with your staff presentation, please highlight the items that you would like the DRB to discuss tonight and what answers you are looking for?
Sure.
Thank you.
Give me 1 second to get things pulled up. Okay, can everyone see the full slide?
Yes.
Perfect. Good. All right. Okay, hi everyone. I'm Jen Ander. I'm an associate planner for the City of Kirkland. And as mentioned, tonight we're here for the Design Response Conference for Polaris at Totem Lake. To get our bearings, the subject property is comprised of two different parcels. They're located at 12335 120th Avenue Northeast, just west of I-405 and south of Northeast 124th Street. The site currently contains a one-story building with associated parking. It's the Buick and GMC car dealership. And of note, there's also significant grade on the property, about 115-foot change between the frontage on 120th going to the top of Welcome Hill, which is located in the southwest corner of the property. In terms of zoning, the site's located in TL4B, so that gives us a maximum height of 75 feet above average building elevation. The properties just to the north and the south are in the same zone, so still TL4B, that same 75-foot height max. To the east, we have DOT right-of-way that holds 405. And then to the west, there's TL10A. It's an office zone, and the maximum height is 55 feet above average building elevation. So some of the goals for tonight's design response conference include reviewing the project for compliance with the design guidelines, discussion of topics identified by staff or other board members, and then the board will deliberate on the applicant's proposal and provide feedback to them. So if we take a look at the permitting process, we're starting with the project in, we're currently in the design review phase, so that's made up of two parts. We have the conceptual design conference, and this project had two of those. They were held in May and June of last year, or I'm sorry, of this year, and the design response conference, which is why we're here tonight. And then the project also has other permits and approvals. So that includes SEPA, which is reviewing the environmental impacts of the project. That includes things like traffic review. Right now, the applicant has submitted their environmental checklist, and the city is currently reviewing that application. They've also submitted a parking mod, so a parking modification, which is under review by the city's transportation engineer. And then after receiving DRB approval, the applicant will be required to obtain development permits for building and grading. So the proposed project, it consists of two eight-story buildings, approximately 442 units, 15,000 square feet of interior amenity space, 4,000 square feet of commercial space, and then a parking garage with one story below grade. Residential vehicular access is being proposed off of 120th Avenue Northeast via an access easement. It's shared with the Totem Lake Plaza, so the commercial property to the south of the subject property. As I mentioned earlier, the project had two conceptual design conferences, one on May 2nd and one on June 6th. At these meetings, the board provided some design direction to the applicant, mainly relating to modulation, mass, and scale of the building, specifically with regards to the neighboring properties and adjoining streets. And the applicant will elaborate how those have been addressed in their design during this meeting. And the board also instructed the applicant to move forward with their preferred scheme, which was scheme 3, which you see on the slide. So moving on to some key zoning regulations. Some of the regulations require board's consideration or approval, but many of them aren't under the DRB review authority, and so those will be reviewed for compliance under the building permit. So if we start with permitted uses, the project's proposing residential and commercial uses. Both of those are permitted in this zone. The zoning code also requires commercial use along 120th Avenue, and it details size and depth requirements for those spaces. So for this particular project, 20% of the total gross floor area, which is located on the street level, needs to be used for commercial space. And that commercial space has to have a minimum depth of 20 feet, but the overall average needs to be at least 30 feet. And residential lobbies are also allowed on the street floor, as long as they don't exceed 20% of the building's linear commercial frontage. So this portion of code does grant the board authority to approve minor modifications to the depth requirements, but the applicant is not requesting a modification to that standard. So then looking at things like height, setbacks, and sidewalks, as we talked about before, the maximum height is 75 feet above average building elevation. The required setbacks are 10 feet from 120th Avenue Northeast. And then since 120th Avenue is designated a major pedestrian sidewalk, there's a requirement for a minimum 8-foot wide sidewalk along the entire frontage of the subject property that abuts 120th Avenue. So each of those three standards have been reviewed by staff as part of the design review application, and they comply with code as proposed. And then those will be reviewed again for compliance with any of the development permits. And as I touched on earlier, for parking, the applicant has applied for a parking modification currently being reviewed by the city. So there's one zoning regulation that does require the board's consideration, and that's open space. So the development's required to provide publicly accessible spaces at the primary pedestrian frontage that extends the public realm while creating a transition between public and private spaces. And there's some dimensional standards as well. So none of the dimensions of the public space can be less than 15 feet. And they also need to be provided in size ranging between 1,500 and 2,000 square feet. So again, with some of the other zoning regulations, this was reviewed as part of this package, and staff determined that it does satisfy the dimensional standards in the zoning code, but the DRB should provide feedback for how that space is configured and any proposed amenities. So looking towards our design guidelines, we can start with scale. At the conceptual design conference, the board discussed increasing modulation and reduction of mass. The project has evolved from the conceptual design conference with some design changes from the preferred massing option 3. So this top graphic you can see is pulled from the CDC proposal, and then the bottom one is from today's DRC packet. and the applicant will go more in depth on that tonight. The board specifically for scale, though, as you can see listed on this slide, provide feedback on if the horizontal and vertical modulation techniques are effective at breaking up that mass. Are the architectural elements incorporated into the design effective in creating more of that human scale? And have the concerns around building mass been adequately addressed? So as for pedestrian areas, the DRB asked the applicant to examine pedestrian areas proposed with the project and look for opportunities for greater activation and pedestrian engagement, specifically along 120th Avenue. So the board should provide input on concerns around street activation and pedestrian engagement. You know, have those been adequately addressed? Is the publicly accessible open space sufficient, as we'd mentioned a couple slides back, you know, in terms of sizing and design and amenities and use? And a landscape plan has been provided with a species list by the applicant. The board should provide input on, is the proposed landscaping along 120th effective as a buffer and an appropriate screen for that space? Are there any changes that are needed for the landscape plan? And are there any opportunities to expand landscaping? Then finally, the applicant has provided information about materials, colors, other details for the proposed project. The board should provide feedback to the applicant regarding these materials, colors, discuss whether additional or larger samples of these materials would be needed or provided at any future design response conferences. So we did receive some public comment. We received an initial comment letter on behalf of Evergreen Montessori. That's the property that's just north of the subject property. The applicant then provided a response to that letter, and then the owners of Evergreen Montessori provided a response to the response. Each of these letters were distributed to the board upon receipt, but you should have received an email today that consolidated all three of those together in one spot. So some of the main comments that came in were lines of sight of the outdoor play space for the Montessori school, scale, massing and facade details, shadows cast by the proposed buildings. And each of those should be discussed by the board tonight. They also mentioned retention of vegetation, and I just wanted to note for the board that the zoning code does require perimeter landscape buffers for driving and parking areas adjacent between that and the adjacent properties. So there's planting requirements for this buffer, and they're mapped out in the code and required to be maintained in perpetuity. So I believe a portion of the letter was requesting a protection easement be placed over that, but we have other code sections that will regulate the protection of the buffer landscaping. And then DRB's action directive for tonight, either to approve the project, approve with conditions, or return for another design response conference. If the DRB determines that another design response conference is needed, just please outline what additional information is needed to decide on the project. And with that, we can take any questions for staff or move on to the applicant presentation.
Thank you, Jennifer. Does anyone have any questions for Jennifer? Thank you. We can move forward to who is going to speak on the behalf of the applicant.
Hi, everybody. This is Dane Knutson with Olson Projects. So good evening, board. Thanks for letting us come in here and share this project with you that we're really excited to be able to share with you guys tonight. And Jennifer, thank you very much for the introduction. That was really well done. A lot of information in there. So thanks for lining me up. All right, let me go ahead and share my screen. One thing I did want to mention just quickly is obviously this is an evolving project. So this presentation that I have tonight, I have a little bit more detail in there than what you've probably seen over the last week of reviewing this package. A little bit more site lighting, building lighting to be able to add to the project. So just wanted to let you guys know about that. And then Jennifer, I'm not sure, obviously after this meeting, being able to distribute that, this package that I have right now, we can get in contact about that.
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
And awesome. And before also, Dane starts, just want to say, John Fisher with the Inland Group, met you all in our last two design meetings. And then we have several team members from Inland as well. So if there's any questions outside of design or otherwise, we're all here to answer and join the conversation as well. But Dane will be taking the lead on the design side of things. So good evening, everyone.
Thank you, John.
Yep. Thanks, John. Awesome. Can everybody see my screen right now? I'll take that as a yes. Awesome.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So let me jump right down here to our third slide. As Jennifer had mentioned, the four of the main points that came out of the conceptual design conference was scale, pedestrian elements, open space, and landscaping, building materials, and detail. So I'll go into each one of those portions here in just a second. We also have a model for purposes if we need to open anything after my presentation or any questions, we can float around that thing if need be. So as Jennifer had mentioned, as the project has evolved, we've taken a look at the massing and how it's broken down a little further. So you've probably all reviewed this package here, but the three big things that I wanted to bring up, and I guess before that, let me orient everybody. So you can see I've got Tower A East Wing, Tower A West Wing, and then this is Tower B, just for everybody's viewing purposes here. So when I mention these some of these aspects here in just a few minutes, just so everybody can kind of get oriented here. So with that, the biggest thing that I would say the change is the Tower A West Wing has been rotated towards the north to align more with the 120th Avenue Northeast alignment. And that's really just for a few big things here, just more dramatic views of the building facades as the pedestrian experience as you're heading towards the east up along 120th. Also allows for views to be able to open up for units, west facades of Tower A West Wing and Tower A East Wing. You can kind of see these arrows here. So with that realignment, these windows and these units get a lot more view towards kind of the northwest here. As well as Tower A West Wing up towards the intersection north of where we're at. So, and also just opening up that corridor between the two buildings as well as much as we can. Randall had mentioned that portion in our last CDC that was one of the aspects of this preferred option that was nice was that there was that opening between Tower B and Tower A that helped break down the buildings and the massing more. So the second point that I wanted to bring up is B on this and trying to create what we're calling kind of an anchoring element, anchoring corner element. And you'll see that further in our presentation. Just the thought is just something to provide a sense of arrival to the project. It was missing that on the massing. And so we wanted to be able to create this anchoring element at the corner. The third part here is C, really looking at trying to, so originally during the CDC, as you can see on the top, we had proposed to break down the base element in kind of a three-story mass and then step back the upper portion of the building. And then also step back at different intervals along what we're calling Tower A West Wing. So when we started playing with the base and getting materiality and everything else on that, it still felt very linear across the base. And so what we wanted to be able to do is kind of invert the proportions between Tower A West Wing and Tower A East Wing. And so by doing that on Tower A East Wing, it's more of a two-thirds composition kind of on the middle. As you can see, it's higher there. And then also on Tower A West Wing, it inverts and goes a one-third proportion to the upper element. So, and you'll be able to see that further in our presentation. So looking at more of a refinement of the scale, here are our kind of our breakdown of the modulation, vertical modulation here. So as you can see, the red is a vertical modulation at 1 foot in depth. And then in the blue, the light blue, we've got a 1 to 3 foot depth in vertical modulation. The blue is more or less, or the darker blue is recessed vertical modulation and massing breaks. So really trying to accentuate the transitions between the main portions of the massing. And then the orange is more or less in plane, using articulation materiality to break down the form easier. So, and then this is just a wrapping around the corner towards the east. So a very similar set of guidelines here on the east facade. And what you guys didn't see either on this presentation that you were provided that I'll get to here in just a minute is dimensions to the plans. So that'll be here for, I'm sure that was gonna be a question coming up here in a deliberation and questioning. So here, and obviously you guys haven't had a chance to digest this much, but really looking at levels 5 through 6 here, and level P1 through L1. So you can see really a lot of modulation going down at the base element here, in and outs of 1 to 3 feet, kind of max. This dashed line here is our 10-foot setback from the property line. So we're trying to get as close as we can to that 10-foot setback. And then as you work up above, we have larger modulation, vertical modulation breaks of 1 foot, 1 foot in depth, trying to stay with that 30-foot max in the zoning code. So here's our horizontal modulation and articulation. So again, just following more of that change in massing between CDC and this point here. Looking at that two-thirds composition at the middle element and the inverse over here to the one-third base element. Over here on Tower B, or the Mark Array building is what we've been calling it. We have a building cantilever over the structure by a max of 12 feet. So trying to create cantilevered sections of buildings to help provide the modulation in the project, as well as weather protection, lighting elements for the pedestrian experience below. And you can see the breakdown too of that of the facade in those dimensions on the previous slide. Wrapping around the corner, same treatment as well, trying to wrap the corner and not necessarily break into a different design element or technique. One thing here that we did is we used horizontal building articulation really with materiality here in these orange rectangles here, really trying to bring in a warmer materiality to emulate balconies or Juliet balconies to be able to provide some type of residential feel to the project. So you'll see those in the renderings as well. So that was the idea. I know that last time we had talked to the CDC trying to limit balconies on this project. This is our take at trying to bring that residential feel into the project by using materiality. So here we're getting into the images, really just at a finer scale, a project progression here. So deep recessed windows, yep, accent materials between the corner element here. So you can kind of see it's more asymmetric to be able to give it a little bit more variety and visual interest to the project here. Roof modulation, looking at three different steps in the building or parapet heights, really the corner element, obviously taking the priority in that roof modulation is the highest. Then we've got our primary, what I'm calling primary tower A building mass. So the intent is to be able to have that corner element kind of slide behind that, behind this tower A element here, to be able to provide a sense that that tower A element's kind of sliding into this corner element, giving a little bit more structure and base to the project. And then also recessed vertical modulation breaks. So these become kind of the lowest roof modulation to be able to give it a little bit less importance. Just looking at different materiality, looking at, we've got prospective tenant parking underneath this corner element here, really looking at warm soffit material treatments to be able to enhance the pedestrian experience and get a little bit of vibrancy and light underneath there. And you'll see that coming up here in a few slides. Trying to use accent materials to be able to create some pops and accentuate different modulation breaks in the building. Looking at the at Tower B, the Marker A Tower, looking out at 120th, looking south here. This one using vertical fiber cement panels with color to be able to create visual interest on the project here, creating modulation breaks at corridors. As you can see, the difference of the contrast between the black and the white massing here. And as we get a little closer in some other slides, you'll see the building cantilever and the moment that creates. Just for reference, Jennifer had mentioned a little bit, we're looking at the Evergreen Academy, playground here off to the, or down to the right, just for reference. Another image, looking from the Evergreen Academy parking lot up at the building here. One important part about this slide here, just we're really working with the Evergreen Academy on trying to limit the building transparency along this facade due to their concerns. So looking at opportunities to try to, trying to limit the transparency, but also create some type of articulation on the facade. With these panels, kind of these pops of color. Here's more of an evening shot here, just trying to show a little bit of the lighting, site lighting that that we're proposing along the building frontage. So looking towards the east off of 120th northeast here, up the sidewalk, looking at more of a warm materiality, like I said, as a soffit underneath the prospective tenant parking with lighting underneath there, textural wall here to be able to block some of the parking from the pedestrian experience as you're heading up, building lighting on columns and accent lighting to be able to really highlight those modulation breaks. Here at this moment along the building that I was showing in our horizontal modulation is the building actually kinks towards the center here. And so the facades at either end wedge out. And so creating this opportunity for this pop of color and creating a little bit more of alignment to the 120th Northeast or Avenue Northeast alignment. On the right of way. Deep recessed windows, as you can see here as well, to try to bring out that modulation as well, the vertical modulation. Here's the east facade. Oh, sorry, skipped a slide. Here we go. Now looking west along 120th here. One thing to bring up here is along this facade that we have the 2/3 proportion on the middle element here, We have these scalloped infill panels. So trying to create some more visual interest on that tall five-story mass element that goes up the building. So trying to create these scallops and these this opportunity to be able to provide some interest there. The scallop just trying to shed water, drainage, birds perching up there was kind of the intent behind that, but more of an art piece for that facade. Creating a warm element at the base to be able to try to draw people in, give it a little bit more of a residential feel as well, not something harsh, concrete or something cold, but I think that works well here on the base of Tower A here. You can see right to the left here, this is the commercial suite location. So we have two commercial suites right now shown off to the side and storefront here. You've got three main canopies. The idea of those canopies are really to be able to provide opportunities for signage, not necessarily weather protection. We have a significant building overhang here at this point, which creates the shelter, but just trying to create wayfinding elements and that opportunity for signage. So this middle canopy here as well as it's an entrance into the parking garage, because that is where we're providing commercial parking for these suites. So again, that is that's a location there to be able to get into the parking garage and therefore provide wayfinding elements. Working to the east facade, care wrapping that same treatment of that two-thirds proportion around the corner using the scallop infill panels in between the windows, as you can see, kind of in a randomized pattern there. You've got the one-third element at the top that works its way around the corner and heads down towards the base. We have the parking. This is the main parking garage entrance into the project. So you're heading down a ramp and into the parking level there. One thing to highlight here, Amy had brought this up last time, just the connection. There's an opportunity to be able to provide an entrance here so that residents are able to access the adjacent retail mall as well as the Fred Meyer just towards the east. So trying to create an opportunity there with planting and lighting there. We've got some services on the side of the building, so you can see kind of this darker fencing material. Those are housing transformers in there, but the idea of really trying to create a safe space to be able to come out of the building and a quicker route over to those services towards the east is the intent here. And then the point just towards the south here, you can see the greenbelt easement and kind of the mountain that comes down into the south of the building. So, and I'll show that in a later slide of what that will most likely look like. So working into pedestrian oriented elements here, just another close look kind of down what we're considering the connection into the public plaza, if you will. So we'll get into the public plaza itself in terms of the size, the overall size, but these are some stairs that are coming down into a generous space, landing into the commercial space. We're between 12 feet and 15 feet as you work towards the center of the building here. Again, storefront and awnings for wayfinding and signage. Lighting, step lighting, handrails, building lighting to be able to have this well lit, planters to be able to provide a transition from the right of way elevation down to our building pads here. More of a front shot looking south eastish off of 120th here. Just trying to look at the main amenity entrance into the project, leasing offices and whatnot for Tower A. One thing that wasn't shown previously or just recently on the package, just bike parking locations for for guests coming into the residential portion of the project. There is a commercial area for short-term biking as well that I'll show in the public plaza elevations here. Potential building signage. Again, this two-third or one-third massing element of the base here wedges and peels away from the facade here. So you've got a wide point here down to a narrow, back out to a wide that you'll be able to reference in the plans. Here's the main entry coming into the market rate or the Tower B section. So this one obviously isn't perfectly along the front edge, but is definitely visible from 120th. So working up a staircase up and into the building, potential blank wall element here that we provided openings into the garage, thinking about metal welded wire mesh or a custom metal panel to be able to provide light as well as intake into the garage for ventilation purposes. A lot of glass right into the front door of the market rate structure. Building lighting, you can see the cantilevers over the top of the base element here. So perfect opportunity for that lighting. Okay, down into open space and landscaping here. So here's the big one. We've got the public plaza. Jennifer mentioned it a little bit here. The constraints on this one is we need to be able to provide 1,500 to 2,000 square feet of space. No dimension less than 15 feet for that open space. Needs to be accessible by the public. One other caveat to that is the elevation cannot be 2 feet or more than 2 feet below or above the right-of-way that it's being accessed. So we are right at that 2 foot mark, but we comply with that code section here. There's a ramp section that comes down from the east down into this to make this as accessible. And then also some stairways that go up back up to the sidewalk connection towards the east. And I'll show plan here in just a minute. But the idea really for this space, and Amy, I know you had brought this up last time, just really trying to activate that pedestrian experience and how, because this is a pretty long frontage, right, along 120th. And the idea or the concept behind it was to be able to provide landscaping that worked from the west down the hill up and into this public plaza space. And then we also have an opening between the two towers, right? And the idea is to be able to take that landscaping and run it vertically on the back of this wall here, and then up into a mid-level courtyard, which is only for landscaping, and then up another wall and into the upper courtyard, which you'll be able to see. Let me go to this. You can see this green wall back here. The thought is really the intent is those grasses and these trees work their way up into the stepped courtyard and then up again into this upper courtyard here. So the thought of kind of a living or green wall cascades its way down and into this plaza here. Flowering trees that contrast the right-of-way trees and up into the courtyards. As you can see, here's that bike parking location that we're proposing for more for the commercial use here. Some seating walls, some seating out along and underneath the building here, opportunities, some sight lighting bollards. So right now, based on those requirements, we're getting 3,268 square feet of that open space. So generous in that. Obviously, it's not all meant to be hardscaped space in that public plaza, but those are the dimensions that we're providing for that public plaza. So in a few other images, this is looking east, coming down the ramp and into the public plaza. This is looking kind of east at the backside of the plaza. And this is looking more west looking at the ramp as it comes up here. Okay, another open space and landscaping item that that we had on the discussion last time was really being able to try to retain retain vegetation and really what the cross section looked like of the Tower B and the courtyard space there and then the Evergreen Academy. So this was a requested section from, I want to say, Amy, you might have requested it in the meeting, but I think everybody agreed that we wanted to be able to see what this really looked like. So as you can see, really, this this is the Tower B project. We have a courtyard space labeled as A here, only meant for the residents of Tower B here. B here is just an access point coming out of the parking garage. We have to have an egress portion there, and this is also including the sidewalk that comes up from the prospective tenant parking. We have a fire lane labeled as C here. D is more or less retained vegetation towards from the fire lane to the property line. E is into the adjacent property and really their existing retaining wall. F is their parking lot, and then G and H really work into their internal sidewalk circulation as well as the playground towards the right here of the page. So I'm sure there'll be more discussion about that, but I wanted to bring that up and just highlighting again the fact that we're limiting as many windows as we could towards the Evergreen Academy. And then Amy, I think you requested this one as well. Just looking at the cross section, we're looking west here at the backside of Tower A. We've got the greenbelt easement towards the south here. On the left-hand side of the page. Realistically, this is a shoring wall, a permanent shoring wall with wide flange beams and 4x6 lagging that goes down. So the idea of being able to have some types of plants grow either over the top and down over that lagging wall, and that wood will weather over time. The thought is we'll have gravel and boulders and on the back of this area, just trying to, with not much sunlight getting down here and just not wanting to be able to have turf and grass to get out of hand in the back there. We also have a fire access lane that need to be able to provide back there just in terms of foot traffic for hose pulls for the fire department as well on that. So actually creates a pretty good separation. We have 15 feet between this shoring wall and units here. Actually these units would have some pretty nice views out in that protected easement, and even that shoring wall with 15 foot of space. Okay, down into building materials and details. As you've all probably reviewed the material palette here, trying to be able to provide gray neutral tones, bringing in warm tones to be able to help provide more of a residential feel. As you can see on here, we're providing a lot of fiber cement cladding on a rain screen system. So pretty awesome product, 5/8 inch panels, 18 inches tall by 10 feet wide. I'm sure you've seen comparable products with like Nichiha, but really, really durable and awesome product that we've used on a number of other deals. So just playing around with a bunch of different textures of that fiber cement panel. So you can see smooth, we've got cast stripe, which is a pretty deep and rich texture. We're using 8-inch reveal in some colors there, and really their urban cedar wood pattern in this honey color for Tower A. It's broken down into three separate sections. We've got Tower A material scheme, we've got Tower B material scheme, and then the shared scheme really for the podium and kind of the connecting portions to the projects. As you can see, Tower B is using contrasting black or charcoal and white colors with pops of color, as you saw in the elevations. A few other things that I wasn't able to update for this presentation here, but the idea of using some type of form saver or board form concrete for some of those side walls to be able to add more texture and interest along the pedestrian experience along 120th. So metal panel here, we've used a revamp panel, which is a laser cut or water jet panel in different colors, powder coated. And then all the elevations, I won't go into any detail here, but we're more than welcome to talk about any elevations, obviously, in questions and in deliberation there. One other aspect that we were asked to take a look at and provide some examples of were just different various projects that have been recently approved by the board and been constructed. So here we've got the Village at Totem Lake. Obviously, you're very, very familiar with this project here. So just kind of comparing the different modulation techniques and really looking at those opportunities, the material colors and palettes there. We've got Upland Apartments just to the southeast of us, or I guess directly south of our proposed project. So relatively long building facades using materiality to be able to break up the different masses. Oh, and I actually skipped one here, the Bower as well, market rate project right next to the village as well. So again, using small recesses and projections to be able to show vertical modulation in this project. And then we do have the appendix. I won't go into any of those. I'm sure you've all reviewed that, but a lot of information just on our zoning information and fire department access and plan work, as well as Evergreen Academy information at the bottom there, some different view studies that Jennifer had brought up at the very beginning of this presentation. So, sorry, it took a little bit more than my 10 minutes, but I'm all done and we can start with any questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Dane. Do we have any questions to the applicant? Please remember to keep your valuable opinions to our later discussion. So we'll start with Amy, who already unmuted herself and is ready to chime in.
Thank you. Please bear with me because I may be asking questions that you've already mentioned. But thank you for walking us through, how you're addressing the concerns that the board expressed last time and our requested additional information. I'm going to try to be systematic about my questions. So they're kind of organized by topic. So I wanted to start with the modulation. Can you clarify for this, I know you mentioned the one-third ratio. Wherever you have the gray, what's shown as gray on your elevation drawings, I know you mentioned that the windows are, are recessed, but some of your drawings make it look like the windows for the gray areas are flatter. So I just wanted to kind of understand, what's the depth of those recesses?
Great question, Amy. At the top element here, once you get above, I mean, what I'm calling kind of the two-thirds, one-third here here's kind of that two-thirds. And then the one-third base here. Anything along in those have the actual recesses of the windows of a foot, or in this case, this is the 1 to 3 foot max. Once you get up into the upper tower portion, the kind of the upper or the top, the facade and the windows are in the same plane, more or less, in the gray, if you will. Those are the ones in plane. anything in the white, more or less, the or the light gray in the elevations, those have the recesses. We do also have modulation breaks though here, and these are a foot back.
Mm-hmm. How about your corner tower?
Oh, here.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the recess depth?
Yeah, this it starts relatively at the edge of the facade, almost in plane, and goes back to, I want to say 2 feet here, 2 to 2.5 feet. I can show it in my, let me clear my drawings here. Sorry. Yeah, this is that corner element right here. So as you can see,
so on average about 2 feet.
Yep.
Okay. Your submittal materials also mentioned that you have roof modulation. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if I can go to our.
And are you already at your maximum height?
We are in terms of floor height for our sixth level. It's an IBC fire department. We are at our max of that, but we are not in our max building height is here. You can see on the elevation. We do have room to be able to go up above that. So, or not above the max building height, but what we're showing right now. But let me see here. I can get to a good elevation here for you. Maybe one of these overall elevations would be a good one. The indent here is that corner element that you can see here is at the highest parapet level here, and it runs back a little ways past the break or the where the two masses kind of come together, trying to show priority in the massing, in a sense that corner is the most predominant mass, in a sense. So the break between these two rooftop or these two parapets, I want to say is 18 inches here. So there's kind of one level, two levels, and then at the recessed portions, kind of around the corner that I can show here in a second, is another level down, another foot below kind of this middle parapet, if you will.
So at the recess, that corner, that wrap around, the modulation is actually more dramatic or more distinct, right?
Yes.
That's a foot. Well, no, you said the other side is 18 inches.
Yep.
So it's exactly. Actually,
2.5
yeah.
Feet.
So, okay. All right. Let's see. What was the other thing? For the pedestrian, I want to now jump into the pedestrian experience on 120th. I know you showed us an elevation with the retail spaces. Is that all along both to the, you know, what you call west and east, I think? Yeah, is this all along both I don't know what you want to call this, both towers or both building of Tower A?
It is on the east wing of there. Here, let me go back to this here.
The floor plan, maybe.
Yeah, this would help. Be a good one here. This is all the retail space right here. So on the east wing, Tower A east wing, then this is all amenity space on
I right see. Here.
And then the public plaza is more or less in the center.
Can you show us the floor plan for that? And because I'm also curious that, you know, you mentioned tenant parking. And so I'm trying to understand how that tenant parking relates to the amenity spaces.
Yes. So let's see here. here's a floor plan. And this is, it's evolved a little bit since this shown here, but I would say that the overall space, the spaces are correct here. But garage entry, you're coming in and down into the level that more or less is relatively close to the commercial. This project is pretty confusing, so I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here. But what you do we want to talk about parking, Amy, or is that what's your main question?
I'm talking more about the parking underneath the tower.
Yep.
All on the other side.
Oh here, sorry.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Yeah, so you're coming in and there's actually parking stalls here.
And that's really for an ease of in and out for prospective tenants. Come in to do a tour, sign some paperwork.
Oh, okay, I see.
So instead of having to navigate the garage and get a pass to get in and out of the secured parking, this is just temporary kind of 15-minute parking for prospective residents or future residents.
And then what happens to that triangular space? That's that area. Mm-hmm.
Let me fire this thing up here in just a second.
So that's open as part of the cantilever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an indoor outdoor space, so covered parking pathway that leads in, will be in that kind of lighter yellow space there, part of the building.
Good to do it here. Let me pop back over to my presentation here. Everybody, maybe the landscape plan is the better spot to be able to show you here, Amy.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because then we can also see the landscape treatment.
Yep. There we go. That's a little better. So that was the idea, to be able to run, that planting kind of up and into here.
Mm-hmm.
But more planting in between kind of the storefronts and the walk.
And your tower, it actually, basically the building facade is all along that walkway, right? It aligns with that walkway.
Yep.
So, the upper portion. Right. So that little planter area that you're showing, it's actually under the building.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And where is the entrance to the leasing office?
Mm. It's actually right here.
Okay.
Yeah, that corner.
And where does the, I know you mentioned some kind of low masonry wall. Where does that masonry wall line up? Okay.
Yeah, it's right underneath here. There's columns that come down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And how tall is that masonry wall?
What do I have? 42 inches above the parking surface to be able to screen the vehicles.
Okay. And what is the material? Is that CMU or concrete? We're thinking
cast in place, a board form, okay. Concrete.
All right. Okay. So now let's go to that middle plaza. In terms, I know that the commercial side, it's actually, you said, I think 18 inches down, or how many feet I can't remember now. Yeah, that.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, how low is that area compared to the plaza?
Yeah, let me. It's a tough one because you're up high here, right? And then you're leveling out at about street here, and then we're heading down. Mm-hmm. So the difference between the main portion of the plaza and here is 2 feet. But as you obviously head towards the east, you're gaining height. So let me go back to one of those.
But the plaza space and the space in front of the commercial bays is at the same level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. It's just the difference from the right of way down to the plaza and the walkways.
Right.
So it's kind of like sidewalk up here, plaza. Walkway for the building.
Okay. All right. Do you mind going back to that landscape plan?
Yeah. Does this one work? Do you want to see the overall? Okay.
So can you explain why you opted for, obviously the ramp is, probably you're meeting your ADA requirements for that. But in terms of the concept, why did you decide to part of my question is because it seems like you could easily take advantage of that extra space to expand your plaza space, but instead you opted to just put your ramp there and then plant alongside it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, Jen mentioned at the outset, and Dane, we do have significant grade challenges throughout the property. So in terms of the level of the garage entrance to that, accessibility issues, this was kind of the midpoint in terms of where 120th slopes up and down and how to kind of position the building in there to take advantage of some of the grade. So it is being kind of driven by existing grades there and existing right-of-way grades that we're working with in terms of the ramps and the pedestrian activities along where the commercial bays are going to be.
And what is that grade in terms of slope
on the ramp?
15% or like, is that pretty steep
on the ramp?
Mm-hmm.
Less than 5. So we don't have any handrails for ADA. So
it's a gentle slope.
Yeah.
It's doing 2 points though, because the road's falling down here. And so you're ramping down to the low, to kind of the lower point here. So it works out better that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons, just really quick, Amy, creating a buffer in between the building. So this space right here is a fitness center for the amenity on the residence side.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to create a little bit more of a buffer between the public plaza where the commercial spaces are over here, and trying to load that side up closer to the commercial spaces, but still have eyes and experience within the building, kind of looking out, because this would all be storefront along here, looking out at that plaza. So having some greenery while somebody's in on the fitness room, working out, that they're not just right up next to somebody sitting on a bench and drinking their coffee, a little bit of separation there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how wide is that ramp?
6 feet.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. So is this the only open space that you're required to provide? In other words, I know you're providing, a playground and, there's that triangular open space also between the two buildings. Is that also part of what the DRB's, and I guess staff can answer that question too.
Yeah, Jen, did you want to answer that one at all, just in terms of requirements?
Is that something that the DRB is supposed to review and also part of the approval?
Yeah, so that is something that, well, at least the specific plaza is something that should be reviewed tonight and get feedback. So in that open space and specifically the plaza. I believe that is the only requirement. Admittedly, I'm taking a quick look through because I took this project over. So just making sure I didn't miss any pieces. So I'll take a peek and just make sure. But yeah, so this is one of kind of the main five items that the board would need to reply back to.
Mm-hmm. And as Jen's looking at that too, one thing to know, Amy, we conducted a community engagement process with what would be prospective future residents of the Polaris development, as well as various partners in Totem Lake and Kirkland. And so part of what came out of that was a desire to program some of the space with public art. And so that will be an ongoing item. This was an area where we figured with some of the walls perhaps, and certainly some of the planning strips in other areas for statues or other works of art there, as well as paintings and murals, would kind of be the idea to let some of the community groups in Totem Lake help in designing and putting some of that stuff together. So keep that in mind as we're discussing the amenity activities there for the plaza.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. So how about, let's go to the required buffer, landscape buffer between your property and the Montessori school. Can you give us, I don't know if you've developed it to the point where you kind of know the details. But I know this was a concern last time by the neighbor. So we just want to make sure, I'm kind of curious regarding whether or not you were able to save the trees or you're proposing something new.
So what's here is a combination. So there's the planting area will be enhanced and enlarged than what the current conditions are. Mm-hmm. There, so less pavement, more planting strip was the goal. Adjusting the fire lane grade and just grade of that side of the building to essentially match existing, so we're not disturbing the root zone with the activities there, was another goal that we're achieving. And then kind of the third leg of the stool is additional arborist report or study that was done to help identify which trees would be affected by additional shade, and then done to mitigate to ensure that, not sure, but to hope and help those trees to survive a different shade environment. So the trees along our property were the ones identified or in our property line were the ones identified that would be adversely affected by shade. So there's recommendations for additional mulching, supplemental irrigation, pruning of the trees and the crown to promote more filtered light through when it is, and kind of help the tree adjust to some of the new conditions. So we'll be implementing those recommendations by the arborist into the landscape plan as well. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it stands currently with that shared property line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to assume that staff is going to make sure that it meets, I don't know if there's like a type of shrubs or, understory that's combined with the trees that's required for the buffer, to be acceptable. But yeah, okay, thank you for that information. Are you providing any kind of like dog, it's not really a dog park, but basically an area. Okay, where is that?
Yeah, we do have relief stations for the property. We do allow pets under a certain weight limit to be on site there. So I forget exactly where they're at, Dane. You happen to remember the pet relief stations?
Yep. We're actually looking at this area back and down here, and I think it actually heads this way a little bit more here. We've been working with our civil engineer just on this fire lane design and trying to use grasscrete in other locations up here. So apologize that this has not been updated quite yet, but this is the intent of a dog park right in this area. And then a dog wash area actually attached in here to the Tower B building.
Okay. Yeah, obviously we don't require it, but it's a good thing to have nowadays with most tenants.
Yeah, we also do. We put some pet doggy bags throughout the property, just making sure there's always access to something because we don't want to deal with the mess either.
Let's see. So, let me just double check my questions about landscape. So, let's go to materials. I'm almost done, thank you. The scallop that you mentioned earlier, can you actually see or read the texture from the street, or is that, you know, pretty like would you actually have enough of a shadow with the scallops, or will it still read kind of as a smooth material from? You know, obviously, there's a difference when you're driving versus walking, but if you're walking. Mm-hmm. What is that going
to
look like?
Yeah, the intent is it's a, I guess I call it a scallop in a sense. I mean, the thought is it's some type of powder coated steel that would be in that accent material. As you can kind of see the sides or the recesses, the intent is to be able to provide, that's a really thick line, sorry. Wrong button. Yeah. Here we go. Mark it up. The intent is to be able to provide kind of the sides of some of these recesses in that same accent material. So is it, either way you're heading, it'll change what side of the recess that accent material is. And the intent is to be able to have those scallops the same color as that accent material. So, and it's not on every infill panel, but it would be on certain panels to be able to provide just some type of interest across that facade. So looking down or looking up at it from the pedestrian level, probably won't be able to view necessarily the wedge portion as it heads back towards the window, but you'll see that accent color from below in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll see more of the color than the texture. Or you'll discern the color. And then, so most of the material is actually fiber cement.
Yep.
Is that basically it?
Yep, agreed.
Okay, so the metal is only used as accents.
Yep, that'd be the intent.
Okay, all right. I think that's all I have, thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Brad, would you like to go next?
Yeah, if you could go back to that landscape plan that we were reviewing earlier with Amy. I wanted to take a look. You know, you have the ramp, which actually isn't, I guess, a ramp. It's just a sloped sidewalk headed down. Yeah. Down into it. Are there stairs also directly from the sidewalk to it, or is it split off? I'm curious about your decision making process, why you thought, you know, to add stairs, you know, into each kind of retail space and commercial area, but not stairs down into the public plaza.
Yeah, no, that's a great question there, Brad. The intent was that this all connects in a sense. The public plaza, we're calling it, I want to say to here, just because the 15-foot dimension ends at that point, but it still continues. You're able to still walk through this space and join back up to the sidewalk at any one of these points, or come down and into that. The thought is that this is all level up to this sloping sidewalk. So everything towards the east is all at the same level here. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And then at the back of the plaza there, where it changes, you know, you have the the striping color, you know, indicating the landscaping. And then there's the darker green second floor green roof. What is that transition like? You know, like if you're standing at the back of the plaza right there, exactly, you know, do you have images? I don't know if I saw you open Rev, but I don't know if you can like show us a view of that or what that experience is like right there.
Yep, absolutely. If I can not make anybody sick here. The idea is that's like almost like a living wall in a sense, and maybe this rendering doesn't do it the best, but the intent is to be able to kind of have that landscaping kind of go up this back wall. Mm-hmm. And then into it, it's into a, just a landscaping courtyard that units open up into.
Okay. Then, so that wouldn't be accessed, accessible space, for those units.
Nope, just for maintenance purposes.
Okay, so really is a green roof, as you said. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, there's one more level up with the green wall that gets you into the resident courtyard there. Yep. So it's kind of a waterfall of plants, mm-hmm. essentially, you're kind of going for.
Yeah, that's a cool effect now that I'm seeing it like this, yeah. And then I also wanted to ask you about your contact with the neighboring Montessori school. I saw obviously that there's some back and forth via email. I'm not sure what other discussions you guys may have had in person or on the phone, or if you guys have kind of, you know, where you're at in the process, if you guys have come to any sort of understanding.
You're on mute, John.
Sorry about that. I haven't seen, but I think Mr. Tobar and perhaps his clients are on tonight. So I think they're going to make some public comment as well. But yeah, the communication lines are open. Certainly been talking through. I think we're, as you've probably seen with our correspondence as of late, we're at a point where we feel like we've mitigated as best we could in terms of their requests of privacy. I don't think there should be an expectation that there should be 100% privacy in an urban zoning situation. So I think where we've been able to land, which has been based on their concerns, is what you see today, with minimizing as many units as we can that have direct lines of sight or look directly out on that property. So we've orientated and done as much as we can to try to mitigate those concerns, but feel that we've done as best we can in good faith, and that 100% privacy is just not realistic in an urban Totem Lake core that we're currently developing in. So I know they're going to speak to that.
Lost you, John.
John, you're breaking up. Okay. And we can't hear you.
Okay. Well, while we wait for John to hop back in, if you could give us a front elevation view, you know, for 1/20th. And I think this will be my last question. Yeah, this is good. I'm curious how many different window shapes and styles we see across each of these two wings. It looks like I'm seeing two different types. of window?
Two.
Okay. All right. And how many square feet in total, like from end to end, are both of these wings, you know, from the north to the south along 120? I know I think I asked this once in one of the previous conferences. I just forget the overall length of the whole facade.
Yep. Let me get there in a second. On the east wing, and about 200 on the west wing.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's it for me for questions. Shoshana.
Thank you, Brad. Fatima, would you like to go next?
No questions.
Thank you. Randall? I don't see.
I believe Randall lost connection. He's trying to get back on now.
Okay, so until we have Randall back, I think my main question, and maybe you've already went through that and I missed that in the previous meeting, but I would like to see a top view of the project with the pedestrian zones and how they link between them and to the adjacent buildings, if possible. Can you walk me through that?
Great question, Shoshana. This is in the appendix. I'll just, for reference, page 59 of the package here. So really, breaking it down, orange line vehicular traffic, they're probably concerned about pedestrians. So pedestrian traffic along the right-of-way sidewalk here is this red kind of dash line, if you will, here. And then the blue, kind of the darker blue dash line, is just pedestrian circulation through the plaza and back out to the right-of-way, which is something kind of unique about that, which is nice. You can come and take reprieve and then get back onto the right of way without having to backtrack, based on the layout. The light
I'd be a little bit of a dialogue, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, but I just want to make sure that I'm on top of everything. So these are the only commercial facades in the building?
Yep, where C is. Yep, right here.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
And then the light blue line here is really pedestrians coming in off of the right of way and either going into the Tower A facility here at point A, or walking up the stairway along kind of the podium structure and into the front door of Tower B. Red dashed line here is fire access only into the project here. So you have an emergency gate to stop cars from queuing up this fire access lane, and then more of a security gate at the top of the where the building and the shoring wall meet, just for more security purposes and privacy purposes. But that would only be for fire access. So that's that circulation in terms of vehicular. One thing I'm not showing on here, which I didn't do a good job of, is showing this connection right here. This is the connection that goes over to over to Fred Meyer and the retail building to the east. We're only showing it up to more or less the drive aisle where we can show it to. So really, there is a sidewalk here next to this ramp that goes down into the garage for pedestrians.
So the only thing that we have on that side of the building is basically a building and a sidewalk, right? Do you have an image of that?
Yep. Let me clear this drawing here. Mm-hmm.
you're looking more or less at the Fred Meyer gas station. There's a little island there that comes across there. But there's a garage entrance on that side, and then garage ventilation going into the garage. You've got services on this side of the building, kind of a screen wall for transformers. The idea is having some type of lighting, an exposed concrete wall with some planting that works up to a door on the backside of here.
So are pedestrians able to connect from the building to the Fred Meyer area?
They are. This that door aligns with what we're calling level P1. So residents from both the Market Rate and or Tower B and Tower A are able to come out of this door with security access with a fob or a keypad or something at that door. And then they're able to walk this sidewalk up to more or less our property line and then either cut across the parking lot or use adjacent sidewalks to be able to make their way over.
But there's not a real path there, right?
Not past our property line, no. There's an existing path up here at the retail space. Just off to the left, you can kind of see this is actually parking in here. And there is a sidewalk here that connects down into the Fred Meyer parking lot through a series of different sidewalks and whatnot.
So basically the only way we have pedestrian, let's say, traffic in your plan is on the 120th facade. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, I would say it's correct.
Yeah, there's a lot of conflict, or could be a lot of conflict there in that Fred Meyer side of the building. We're right on our vehicle access lane there. So like to direct pedestrian use along 120th, and then they can feed up through the development depending on where they're looking to shop or dine or whatever on those businesses.
What's the sidewalk there? Do we have sidewalk at all? I'm trying to understand from the...
On 120th?
No, where the vehicular traffic...
No, that's technically a part of the drive aisle, Shoshana. Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. This is just a visibility thing on the underside of the drawing, but this is the edge of the... This is the edge of the drive aisle actually here. So that line right there is just a layer in our drawing.
Got it. Okay. So the north of the building is just a driveway, right?
Correct.
Okay. I understand. So can you show me from the top view where the door is leading to that Fred Meyer side, the door that you showed me next to the garages?
A top view of a model?
No, where you are right now.
Okay, yep.
You showed me on the previous picture, yep, you showed, yeah, okay. So basically that door is accessible from anywhere inside the building?
Yes.
Understand. Then I guess I have no more questions. Thank you. Does anyone have follow-up questions?
Shoshana, Randall's back.
Oh, Randall. Hi, can you please?
Sorry, lost my internet connection for just a short bit there. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I did too. So I hope I answer your question, Brad. I apologize, but my Zoom crashed as well. So
no, that was good. Thank you.
Thank you, Randall. Would you like to ask your questions now?
Sure. I lost connection right when you were going through the buffer between the school and your property there on the north side of that fire lane. And I guess my question there is what you didn't, that I didn't catch was, how many of the existing trees are you going to be able to keep?
Do you want to answer that one, John? Or do you want me to do it? Oh, must be losing him a little bit again here. Yeah, the intent is that we're attempting to keep all of these trees along here, Randall, along our property line. We're increasing the width. Right now, the existing width, there's a parking lot that runs up in here.
Right.
The existing, yep, distance from there is 4'6". We're increasing that to 9'2". Is the intent.
I understand that, but I guess I'm just questioning. You're going to be able to come close to, or you'll attempt to keep the existing trees in place.
Yep, that is correct.
Yes, no answer. I mean, or because of something, you got to take one tree out or something like that. I'm just trying to get to the number there.
Yeah, there, Randall, I apologize. I crashed again, so I'm on my phone now. Can you hear me okay? This is John Fisher.
Yes, I can.
Okay. So we're trying to obviously preserve as many as we can, preferably all of them along our property line. The arborist report did identify one tree that was probably too sickly and needed to be removed. I'm pulling that up right now, but it was or in our northwest corner there. It was identified as needing to be removed as part of that that property line area.
I was wondering about that tree when I was over there this afternoon taking a look at that. There's one tree there that wasn't looking too good. So
that's recommended to be gone, as well as I think there's a smaller flowering tree there that also needs to come out as well. So there was two in that area.
But you would replace those.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I don't duplicate any of the other questions that I missed. I think it's, as far as questions of the applicant at this time, I think that's all I have. So thank you for the presentation, very detailed.
Thank you, Randall. I believe we do have members of the audience that would like to speak tonight.
Yes, so if you would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature. And when you are called upon, you'll be promoted to a panelist, and please provide your email address and please spell it out. So Shauna, we do have Joseph Tovar.
Hello, Joseph. Please go ahead and remember that you have 3 minutes. Joseph?
Yeah, it takes.
Thank you.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, we hear you.
Can you hear me all right?
We do.
Great, thank you. Well, again, good evening. My name is Joe Tovar. I'm appearing tonight on behalf of my client, Bedford Properties. The Bedford property, as you know, is immediately north of the Polaris Project site and presently houses the Evergreen Academy Montessori School, where it's been for almost 25 years. The school consists of a two-story building, a parking lot for staff and parents, and 3 open playgrounds that are used by up to 60 of the school's children who are up to 6 years of age and are outside at any point during the day. My clients and I do appreciate the good faith conversations that we've had with Mr. Fisher and the Inland Group for over a year now. To be clear, we have no issue with the project's residential or commercial uses. We do not object to the total unit count or to the height of the 2 towers. As noted in my letter to the DRB of September 27th, and a letter submitted earlier today by my clients, Jeff and David Bedford, We are pleased that the primary access will be from the south side of the Polaris property rather than from the north side, where the two properties share an access easement. We also appreciate the information that Inland has shared with us and response to our queries and to the adjustments they have made, for example, to the dimension, grade, and location of the fire access lane in order to help protect the existing trees along the shared property line. Rather than regurgitate all the points in the letters that we've generated on this issue, the responses and the rebuttals and the replies, my clients have asked me to underscore a few key themes we'd like you to give consideration to. We do have a significant remaining concern about the privacy and security of the children who attend the Montessori school. That is why views of the school from the towers is an important design issue to solve. The sample window treatments that were shown in both of our letters illustrate just a few ways we think that architectural refinements could help orient the views from the 34 units along this facades that primarily face to the north to instead have those views oriented primarily to the east and the west. We also continue to have concerns about the scale of those facades of the towers that abut the common property line. While Inland has made some attempts with modulation to lessen the apparent mass of the towers, we believe that more facade articulation can and should be done. For example, the window treatments that we suggested to help with lines of sight issue could also help further break down the apparent mass of these facades. You've seen a number of exhibits in your packet. They've been shown to you tonight again by Mr. Knutson, that illustrate the location of the existing trees on both the Polaris and Bedford properties and the degree to which they help to filter or obstruct the lines of sight between the towers and the playgrounds. We agree with Inland and the DRB members who have recognized the value of retaining these significant trees, and that is why we recommended that provision be made to replace these significant trees with trees of similar size if they suffer from disease, damage, or wind throw. I think that's the end of my 3 minutes. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. Please consider both the letters we've submitted. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. I believe we're still missing your email address.
Oh, I apologize. My email address, jwtovar, jwtovar, at icloud.com.
Thank you. Do we have one more member, public member, that would like to speak? John?
I see in the attendees, there's two people. I think they're the Bedfords. Mr. Tovar, do you know if they would like to speak?
I don't believe they've asked to do that.
Okay. So I think that's it, Shoshana.
Okay, thanks, John. So I guess now it's time to move forward to deliberation. Who would like to go first? Randall, would you like to go first?
I'm going to hold off. Why don't we let somebody else go first this time?
Thank you. Brad, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I think that the project has done well responding, you know, to a lot of our past comments, and with each iteration it seems to, you know, just be getting a bit more refined. I still have a few items that, you know, I think could be improved upon. And I actually think Amy kind of touched on it during kind of her questions earlier. I feel like in some places the facade just feels really flat, and although the forms, like if you were to look at the massing model, you know, it is broken up and they have done some modulation, it still just reads pretty flat in some areas. And I'm wondering if it's because they only have two different styles of window that are, you know, pretty similar in size across the entire, you know, length of, I guess, all facades, you know, but especially, you know, on the more public facing 120th. So I'd like to see a bit more variation between, you know, different styles and sizes of openings. I think that really helps create more play and just juxtaposition between like solids and voids and helping make, you know, one long 200 foot facade feel like it's broken up more into pieces, you know, that are just a bit more pleasing to the eye and for the human scale. I also have a little bit of concern that, I mean, although it is a public plaza that you can just as easily go down the stairs, you know, and then turn a corner and walk down to access. I wish there was a bit more direct access, you know, similar to some of the steps, you know, that they, you know, have leading right down to what I'm assuming will just be a kind of a commercial, you know, storefront. But that wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. I'm also not sure what the rest of the board's attitudes and mindset are about some of the concerns about privacy. For sure, you know, it is an urban area. I don't think they need to make wholesale changes, but who knows? Maybe playing with the different numbers and sizes or styles of windows openings might help gain a little bit of privacy as well towards their neighbors if they're going to be there for long term. Let's see, one other final thing. Again, Amy touched on this, was the parapets, you know, although they did show one small jog, you know, in one of their elevations, it also still reads is just kind of really long at one level. And again, I don't think it's doing them any favors if they're trying to break up such a long, like 300, 350 foot long, you know, facade facing 120th. So I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, movement and effort and breaking up the parapet as well.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Fatima, would you like to go next?
Yeah, I would like what Brad mentioned, the 200 foot facade. They could add some breakage points to it, maybe with the windows or maybe with material. It looks like a very big block on both sides. Yeah, that's it.
Fatima, Randall, would you like to go now or should we wait until Amy's taking her turn?
Have Amy go ahead and then I'll jump in. I want to take a look at something here first.
Of course. I'm just going by the order of my members on my screen so I don't skip on anyone. Amy, thank you.
So I also wanted to thank the applicants again for patiently answering my questions. And I can tell they've thought through a lot of the details of, you know, the public realm, which is good because that's what I'm always interested in. You know, I appreciate Brad's comments because I would have said the same thing about the modulation of the roof line. I think that the applicant could really do some more interesting things with that, that will also help with the mitigating for some of the more flatter facades. This is just a suggestion. Like Brad, I did have concerns about, you know, what was shown as the gray sections of the facade, because the windows are, you know, if you're on the street, it's going to read like it's flushed with the fiber cement panels. And if the applicant's planning to keep that motif, I'm okay with that, but I would really recommend using mullions with very deep and chunkier, for lack of better word, profiles, so that again, it would at least give it a little bit more of, again, not a full modulation, but some sort of articulation. Regarding the tower, I know they talked about how it's intended to pop out, but I'm not reading it as something that's popping out. I like the idea of having a tower, and so this is where maybe adding a parapet, and also maybe I think the tower's a little step behind the property line, so maybe even cantilevering it out so that it would read a little bit more as something that's popping out along 120th would actually be good. So those are just suggestions. In other words, I would really encourage the applicant to continue working on that concept of a tower, but definitely needs some, additional work to make it really read as a, as an accent. My biggest concern is actually the ground floor activation of that space, the leasing office space and the tenant parking. If you really look at that length of the facade, basically the only part of the building that's engaging the street is, that one third that's closer to the plaza. And even that with the landscaping that is meant to buffer the gym from pedestrians, then basically the entire, half of building A is completely stepped away. It's not engaging the street. And so I think there's some more work that needs to be done. There's an opportunity with that very wide landscape buffer. I mean, I'm good with the buffer between the parking and the sidewalk, but I think there may be an opportunity to introduce some sort of a themed landscape with plants that, maybe like a butterfly garden or, where you could also use some interpretive signs that when someone is walking along the sidewalk, they're going to see something interesting, add flowers that actually have fragrant smells. And seasonal plants that, then changes color through the months and seasons. So I think there's a lot more that can be done with that landscape area, but I also, I also think that, with that parking, maybe that section could be, could incorporate some decorative metal panels instead of just that low concrete wall. And again, those are just some ideas. The applicant mentioned that they're working with the community to incorporate more artwork. So this may be one of the places where you could put some artwork and create more like a garden, instead of just what's showing here, which is more of a landscape buffer instead of a garden that could really enhance the pedestrian experience. So I would like to see something different for basically where you see the open columns for two thirds of that space. Let's see. The retaining wall for the green belt, what they're calling the green belt, it seems to me that the entire ground floor units or all the ground floor units will basically have nothing but that wall as a view. And I understand if you can't plant anything there, but I think this is where maybe using some kind of stamped concrete form that's more decorative you know, with, let's say, like plants or vines or, you know, some more like natural, you know, trees, you know, in other words, something more than just some textured concrete to at least give the residents on the ground floor something better to look at than, you know, depressing retaining wall. And then also I noticed that there's some flipping through some of the sectional drawings of the courtyards, there's some blank walls. And I forgot to ask this from the applicant, so I don't know if it's too late to for them to answer, but I did see one that's like a blank wall, and I think they need to do something with the blank walls. And now I'm going to the public plaza. I also would like to see, you know, where you have the ramp, it's 6 feet wide. So it's relatively, you know, you could still put benches along there to make that, you know, one of my biggest concern with your, with this plaza is that it's, you know, the space that's really usable is just the kind of the sides, because you have these gigantic planters with trees. I'm not opposed to the trees, but basically once you take out the space that's used by the planters, then there's hardly any space that's really used for gathering. And so, again, this is where I was thinking, allowing that plaza to spill over to this ramp and then putting some benches. And if there's concern about privacy or, you know, for the gym, you can always orient the benches to face the street. And so that way, in fact, it's, you know, the benches will then be, you know, engaging the pedestrians on the sidewalk. Yeah, I think that there's an opportunity here with maybe more interesting landscaping to make this ramp more of an element, an extension of the plaza, and not just, you know, another access point, you know, another what I call utilitarian walkway to the plaza. Yeah, so maybe even using special pavers for this part that's also, again, used for the plaza, that could also help. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Amy. Randall, you're ready.
Okay, I'll jump in. I'm going to start off, and I'm going to, as I look at the documents, that the paper documents that we got, and I'm going through that, and I'm on page 20 and 23 of those documents, and then I agree with Brad that the building seems flat, but I actually think your perspective 20 on page 20 actually shows it flat, because it seems to be taking in the morning sun or almost a sunrise type approach to this, and it's washed out. Because then when you go to, you know, you get to page 23 and you start looking at the depths that some of these windows are recessed back into the facade, you start to see then a lot of differentiation there. And so I think you're almost going to get almost a black white type look instead of kind of the washed out look that you have on the perspective on page 20. But I would have to say that it just the anchor corner, I don't think it anchors. You've got the facade that kind of turns with the street, so you've got not a straight a straight piece there for the first three stories. And then you go up above it and you got your vertical massing that is popping out, and then the windows there. And I just think that a little more work on that anchor corner, whether it's just in the color combination of horizontal vertical may help that, or if it may be that horizontal, those two horizontal bands that are with that, something just doesn't read right. And then the reading of it comes up to the parapet, and as you go down the parapet, it does read flat. It just doesn't pop. And I guess I look at it and I think with minimal connection, I'm starting to have connectivity problems again. But can you still hear me? Okay. So I think you have the opportunity here that anchor corner, and just a little bit, whether it's eyebrows or something along that parapet, that just gives you a little bit of a relief on this, because you do set these windows, your window frame or your window planes into these to the massing, which I like, and I think that'll punch out and that. Or pop out at it, but I just, again, the straight parapet with what you have going on the first three floors and then the vertical elements on this just doesn't quite tie in to me, is the way I feel about it. Now, that's kind of a person that's, you know, design it can start to get personal, but it's, but that's just my feel to it, is that it just is, it's really close, but it just doesn't quite pop. And I think you have the opportunity to make it pop. And that, because I think the layout, the way that it reads from the street, you know, it reads as three separate buildings. And that, I think that reads well. The pedestrian, it's a tough street for pedestrian until additional development goes on to the south. Fred Myers and Dunn Lumber are choice spots over probably the next development cycle. Different things like that, we may see things happening. And then definitely keeping the trees in between the school and the project is what you've done there. I like the way that you've worked with the neighbors on that and have worked forward with that. But again, I just call your attention back to page 23, and you look at the small picture where it's got the address 12335 underneath of it, and the way that those windows recess back in, and that you've really got some nice things happening. And I just think at the, you know, if Brad at the top, the parapet just needs a little bit more relief. That's basically all I have at this time.
Thank you, Randall. So, well, first of all, thank you very much for the presentation, the thorough and detailed presentation. I feel that at this point, we are overall happy with the building massing. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And we need a little bit more details and refinement regarding the pedestrian access, the rooftop line, what my fellow members previously mentioned as flat, and maybe a little bit more of variety, and I wouldn't call it playfulness, but it is interest and functionality with the landscape plan. And I didn't hear much about the materials and the colors. And with that, I assume that there were not any other than using maybe pavers where the plaza is. But with that, I assume we did not have any reserves about that. So do we approve with conditions or do we want to have another response conference? What does it look like?
I don't know if we were to approve with conditions, what conditions we would give them. If I have some issues about modulating the facade or somehow breaking it up, because that can be done either through actual modulation or through some alternate different glazing types, as Amy said, some mullion profiles or some other method. You know, I don't think I could say, oh yeah, I'll approve with the condition that they further modulate the facade, you know? So I don't know, maybe I'm just not, I don't know, imaginative enough right now, but if someone else thinks that there's a good way to condition that, I'm all ears.
So how about we vote? Would we like to see a refinement of the plan with more details? Amy?
Sure. Yeah, Shoshana, I think I'm really very concerned with, I'm so glad that this is the view that is shown on the screen, because I think that this ground floor needs a lot more work to really engage the pedestrian. And I don't really know that we can condition it.
I agree. Thank you, Amy. Would anyone think of approving the project with condition, or should we ask for more refinement? I feel like we're heading there.
Yeah, and I also think, Shoshana, several of us mentioned that the tower, you know, this corner tower needs a little bit more work. So I think that's also a substantial.
Yeah, we are going through all the, well, Jennifer, I believe, will summarize our comments to the next design response conference. And if we neglect to mention anything, you're more than welcome, or anyone else is more than welcome to chime in.
Well, I don't think we need to relook at the total project and that. I think we're just talking about this main street that's 120th. It's really that 120th elevation wrapping around the corner of the building A, or tower A, whatever, seems to be where we're headed. Is there any other parts of the building that you're looking at that you want them to respond to, or for that, or is it just these elevations?
I did mention earlier that I saw a blank wall, and so if they're coming back, then I would like to request that they identify where all those blank walls are and how they're going to treat them.
So I would say we would like to see a model and a refinement of the ground floor in general, and that includes the blank walls, the parking area, the plaza, the ramps, and the view for different points of the building. And I believe what else we are missing is the corner of the building and the rooftop plan. Have I missed anything?
When you talk about blank walls, can we get a little bit more specific as to where those are located?
Amy, would you like to point out the areas where you identified the blank walls?
Yeah, I have to find it. It's It's in one. Okay, it's page. So there are two page numbers. I'm not sure which one is the correct one, but there's, it says 39 and 49. And I'm not really sure. It says enlarge elevation north. So that's one that's that I think that's got the biggest blank wall.
By blank wall, which portion you're on?
And I think that it says resident amenity. So what I think is going on is there's a resident amenity that's above what is probably their underground garage. And so the part that's the underground garage, it's all just blank walls. But then it seems to be next to a courtyard so I can't tell. I mean, it's got the building name on it. Yeah, so I'm assuming
this would be the side that faces the school and the fire lane that comes up and then the stairs that I believe get up to the entrance.
There.
Yeah. So it's,
yeah. What is, yeah. Who is going to see all these walls? I guess that, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Sorry. I was having issues with my, this is really, that's been refined to a better, we didn't have this opening kind of shown in that elevation reason there. So this is more of what you will see.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, good. So there's actually gonna be like an entrance there.
Yeah.
Awesome, okay.
There we go.
Sorry, that's better. There is a portion, I guess you could say right here. I mean, I've got that door coming through. We have some different materials coming down at the base here, but definitely understand this elevation right here. We'll get that to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Is there any other areas, Amy, that you were looking at?
You know, I was just skimming through things. So I would just request the applicant, if you know of other places like that where obviously that's visible, right? So yeah, we would be concerned about how the pedestrian experience. Yeah, these are fine. They're just basically small areas between the windows. It's predominant, your 120th facade is, especially for this side of the building where you have the commercial spaces, they're fine. I was more concerned of the other side where you basically have all, openings with no, that doesn't really engage the pedestrian.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay. How about how do we feel about the landscape? Do we feel we have enough details about the landscape plan? Or would you like to see a little bit more?
I thought that Amy brought up some salient points about, a garden or making some of it a bit more interactive instead of, I don't want to call it dead space, but like dead as in it's, really just serving a buffer, Right. It's like something that caused more interest. And I'm also curious about the neighbor's request to plant trees of the same size, which likely would be evergreen trees. And gosh, it's pretty rare to see developers put in, evergreens anymore. Usually they're tearing out all the old, super tall evergreens and just putting in some, 20, 30 foot deciduous tree. I'm not even sure if the board can tell an applicant what types of trees they can plant. I know the city has standards along the street, but for the rest of the property, I'm not sure if that's something we can dictate.
Well, I would still say that we need to see a little bit more of a detailed plan and how, not only what they're using, but how they're going to use it in a way that will be more engaging and interesting throughout the year and pedestrian friendly. Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to request that, John?
So is your question, can the DRB request certain types of species and vegetation?
Can we ask variety? Can we ask to have different, types of trees?
Yes. I think it's historically the DRB has requested that in certain locations, not necessarily throughout the entire project, but in plazas and in areas where an applicant's utilizing landscaping to screen blank walls. I know the board has been very particular about the type of vegetation to serve that purpose or whatever function is being proposed. So
that's what I remember as well.
Yeah.
I think that we will be more than happy to see that. And honestly, a little bit more, something a little bit more thoughtful than just seating areas or plain benches, just something, that might work again with the local community about art, about, walking through and just enjoy what you see. Because this is a very, very, very long building. I guess that should be part of the landscape plan as well. Any other thoughts? Are we clear about how we want to move forward? Jennifer, would you like to summarize so that the applicant can ask any questions? If they have any, please.
Sure, one second. All right. Also, I have a good list going that I can read through. Did the board have any thoughts on the building that's adjacent to the Montessori school? Is that building B? Am I referencing that correct? Were there any comments on the actual structure for that? I know we talked a lot about landscaping. Just wanted to see if I should add anything to the list for that.
I'm personally not as concerned with building B, except for, again, the ground level and how, like they showed their stairs and then there's kind of like varying heights of blank walls and so they already know that they're going to bring that back. So that's the only part that I'm concerned about.
Okay, does anyone else would like to add something? Seeing not, Jennifer, please go ahead.
Okay, here's what I have so far. Feel free to add, obviously, or any questions. So we have discussion over an increase in modulation, specifically exploring some variation in window size and style, some treatments, and increased movement and breaking up of the parapet. So kind of overall, generally focusing on 120th Avenue as the primary there. Discussion of the plaza, so building out access, stair access, pavers, benches, more connection into the pedestrian space. The board will be looking for a more detailed landscaping plan, so species, location, integration into, again, kind of pulling into that public space, kind of tied in with that, exploring opportunities for artwork, or how to really blend all of those areas together. working more through the anchor corner so that it's standing out as an accent. Similar commentary for what we've talked about before. So, modulation. Again, with the parapet variation. Blank wall treatments. So we're just chatting through that. I have notes on there, and we'll be able to pass that along to the applicant specifically, kind of what some of those spaces are, but overall taking a comb through and seeing, you know, what blank walls could use a little bit more of attention. Let me see if there was anything else. Oh yes, the retaining wall by the green belt, so by the NGPE towards the rear though. So exploring along with the front plaza, but stamped paving, more greens treatment for those units so that they have an enhanced view that's going on back there.
And I had a question on one of those.
Yep, go for it.
The landscaping plan, I'm making a lot of notes here, but the detail with the integration of the artwork that we're still working with the community groups on, etc. I know there's the parking screening questions that Amy brought up. Is that the area of focus for more detailed in terms of the planting area and treatment there? Is that the plaza area, or is essentially everything along 120th, or is it beyond that?
Personally, for me, yeah, I'm most interested in how that landscaping will enhance the pedestrian experience. You know, so I know you do have, you know, community open spaces like the playground, and yeah, right. You know, I don't need to see that.
I think we're also we would also like to see how the transition area or the shared area with the evergreen Montessori, how it is treated with the landscape plan. A little bit more detail there.
Yeah, I would suggest we go along 120th and then turn the corner and then go along the north side of building B, because there's, in the elevations, you're showing some sort of, it looks like landscaping or vines coming down the side of the building over some of the blank walls or some of the walls there. So we need to look at that as to what you're trying to show there, because you show it in elevation, but you don't really describe what it is. So I would bring the landscape plan around the corner and in between the Marsh Sunday School and building B.
Okay, thank you.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Great. Any other comments or additions that we have neglected? John or Dane, would you like to ask any questions? If something else needs a little bit more elaboration?
No, appreciate all the feedback. This is it's good feedback. So really appreciate everybody's time, and yep, I think it'll be a cool project.
Okay, well, I think it's going to be a cool project too. I am, and I'm very excited to see how it evolves from one meeting to another. And I really appreciate the effort you're making. I feel like it has this international flair already, and I can't wait to see what you come up with the next time.
Thank you.
So, Shoshana?
Yes.
I think before a motion is made, we need to pick a date. So I'll defer to Dane in terms of timing. So what meeting do you think you can make?
We need documents a week prior to that meeting for distribution.
Correct. And then several days for the planner to review and draft a staff memo. So let's say, and I'll defer to you too, Jen, feel free to chime in. So distribution is a week prior. So we'll probably say, 3-4 days. So what's that, 10 days 11 days.
11 days yeah. for the meeting to get it to us. Like all the materials to us.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Yeah. Let's see here. So if we are shooting for the 7th of, because what, first Monday, so the 7th, mm-hmm. you'd need documents to Jen by, what did you say, Jen? Sorry.
You're saying 11-ish days before?
Yeah.
John?
Sounds about right. So 7. So probably October 24th, 25th, right in there.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's shoot for that. Yeah, November 7th.
Okay.
Great. Sounds good.
Wait, sorry. Clarifying. What is our intended next DRC meeting date?
It would be November 7th.
Okay.
And there's room on the agenda currently.
Currently, we have the follow-up for Ardea, just north of your project. So that's going to be the second meeting for them. And I just want to clarify. Let's see, the packet would be due to our admin staff on the 27th. Let me just double-check how that would play out. Sorry, just trying to. It's October 27. So Jen, if the packet got to you on Monday the 24th, it would be due on the 27th, Thursday. Would that work?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be fine.
So for Dane, if that or, packet can get to...
Oh, wait. Sorry. I don't know how freely we talk about schedules when we're trying to dial this in. So you're saying packet to me on the 24th?
Mm-hmm. Monday October the 24th. That would give you, what, 3 days?
Yeah, I just won't be in town.
Oh,
much of that week. And I don't, that's why I was like, oh, am I awkwardly throwing a wrench in this? Yeah. So much of that week, I will have about one work day.
Okay. So that
there, but I'll be out of town. Yeah. Nope,
this is why we gotta do it on the
sorry, fly. Everyone.
Yeah. So the next one's 21st. Is that
correct?
Open? Right. Open time slot.
What? Sorry, now I'm confused. What? What month and day are we talking?
November 21st.
Oof. I guess back to you, Jen and Dane. If Dane got you materials prior to when you're gone, what would be the need for you to get something to keep us on the 7th?
So I would think that, yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be tied into our distribution, but if you're able to get something that because I had out of town at the end of the day, Thursday on the 17th, and then I'm out for quite a few days. So probably either the 14th or even ideally maybe the 11th. I don't know if that's pushing it for you guys.
Whew. I'm not a landscape architect. I'm not the landscape architect, but John, that would probably be the only thing. I think we could get our stuff. But yeah. 11th is pushing it.
So we're asking the applicant to submit 4 weeks before the meeting?
Well, we have a conflict with with Jen being out. If we don't want to get pushed to the 21st of November.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was looking at the wrong month. Whoever just recently said that. And sorry, I just had the wrong calendar date up, right? So we were shooting for the 24th, 25th of October. Correct. So when I said the 11th, I'm sorry, that was far too early. Yeah, so 17th of October, I think that's that Monday. So revising my statement that Monday, if you could do the Friday before on the 14th, that's great. But I think we could probably work through the week of the 17th and have that prepped. It's well in advance of our distribution requirements, but.
Great.
Sorry about that.
Welcome back, Jennifer.
Think, what month is it? What's happening? What day?
Excellent.
Okay. All right. So we're on for November 7th, and we'll get the material prior to that, obviously.
Thank you, John. And John, do we have a meeting on the 17th?
Well, before we get to that, let's. I think we need a motion to continue to this project to November 7th.
I make a motion that we continue this project to November 7th.
I second.
Do we roll call or?
Nope. Just okay. All in favor.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone oppose? So I move to continue to DRC at November 7th.
Correct. All right.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Next on the agenda is just the next meeting. So let's just double check. So currently we do not have anything on for the October 17th meeting. If something comes up, we'll have Blanca poll. But currently there's nothing, so and I don't anticipate anything. So that would mean the next meeting for the board will be the November 7th meeting. So please plan on being there. And per usual, you will get a call by Blanca the week prior to confirm. And that's it for me.
Sounds good. Do we have any other unopened items? Doesn't look like it. So I guess we need another motion.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
I second.
Anyone opposes? No, I say that we unanimously adjourn this meeting for tonight. Thank you everyone for participating and have a great week.
Night everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Prince.
Absolutely. Seems like things work pretty well.
It was pretty good. What always makes me nervous are the connectivity issues.
Does that happen fairly often?
Every once in a while, because last meeting, Shoshana missed like half the meeting and Carlos ended up having to chair it. So luckily Carlos was there. And then tonight, of course, Randall was out for a little bit, but good thing he got on. It just seems like there's always one person and it's like, it's so random. We never know
who it's going to be. I know. And Randall, his was kind of tricky for a while. It was glitching and then he was off and back home. But
then he was solid at the end, right?
Yeah.
It's just weird. I don't know.
I know. Things like that. I was worried because I had started the timer because we have to add the timer as a panelist, right? So that I can show. And usually you can only... They told us it'll hold for 40 minutes. And if it takes longer than 40 minutes for you to start it, you have to re-add it. So I was like, oh yeah, okay, no problem. And I thought, the presentations are going.
Yeah, it turns out.
And I was like, oh, the presentations are going on pretty good. And then it kept going and going. And I forgot to check it. So I was all worried. I was all worried. that it had timed out. So when like Joe went to talk, it just like started. I was like, oh, it's good.
Oh man. So, are you at work?
I am. Oh, okay. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Because you know, the other day when you made me panelist on the interview.
Yeah.
When I went back, it had logged out, it timed out. Yeah. So, because you remember, like, you switched me over and then the interview wasn't until like, you know, an hour later.
Right.
So when I went back, I was like, oh, crap. But then I remembered, for whatever reason, I remembered the logon and password. I don't know how I knew that. But I remembered it. And then it's like, oh, shoo. Otherwise, I was going to come bug you. But.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that moved down. Sorry, everyone.
But yeah, well, thank you. So now you know what DRB meetings are like.
I know. Well, you know, it's been years ago since, you know, I did recording secretary stuff, but DRB is always my favorite because it just keeps your interest the whole time and all the materials and the landscape. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Horton was my hated having to go to Horton. And the planning commission wasn't so bad either. It was usually pretty lively, but DRB was always my favorite.
Yeah, I'm glad. And this was Jen's first DRC meeting, so she did pretty good.
Yeah, she did a really good job. Good for her.
I thought her presentation was great. So
yeah, well, that was really nice too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was good to see Joe.
I know. See, I thought you'd recognize.
Yeah. I saw Patrice had sent me an email inviting me to like one of her art shows. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, I'll go. But then it ended up being like on the same night as like Taylor's Believe in the Way thing.
I'm sure she'll have another one. I want to go check it out too.
I know. Yeah, it'd be so fun. Anyway, I'm going to scoot out of here.
Yep. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.